All glories, all glories to Lord Jagannath. Who has appeared as the dear son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. All the three worlds offer prayers unto his lotus feet. In Nilachala he holds the conch shell disc, club, and lotus flower. While in the town of Nadia, he holds a sannyasi staff and water pot. It is said that in olden times, as Lord Ramachandra, he killed the demon Ravana. Then later, as Lord Krishna, he revealed the splendorously opulent pastimes of Goloka. Now he has come again as Lord Gauranga, the golden avatar. Endowed with the ecstatic mood of Sri Radha and has spread widely the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vasudev Ghosh says with folded hands, he who is Gaura is he who is Krishna, is he who is Jagannath.
Hare Krishna. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you for being such special instruments of Srila Prabhupada's grace. Whatever Srila Prabhupada did, he put his heart, his soul, into doing it as an offering of love to his spiritual master, to our Guru Parampara, Sri Panchatattva and Sri Radha Madhava. Every moment was a concentrated, pure offering of devotion. Why someone at 69 years old would leave Vrindavan to go on a journey that was so full of troubles, uncertainties, hardships. No one in the entire planet Earth put any pressure on him to go. No one expected him to go. No one had ever done it before in our Sampradaya's history. Sometimes we wake up from Mangal Arati, even though we don't feel like it, because we're expected to. So many other people are going to go, and I should go. So having association of devotees to give us that sense of responsibility, to remind us that type of devotional pressure is very healthy. It protects us from our tendency to justify lethargy. But in Srila Prabhupada's case, there was no one who was on this planet putting any pressure on him. It was 30 years before his Guru Maharaj. Actually, it was 40 years before that his Guru Maharaj gave him this instruction. Teach Lord Chaitanya's message in the English language and spread it all over the world. He didn't specifically say he should physically travel. He just told him to spread it all over the world. And more or less, he gave that instruction to all of his disciples. And many of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada's disciples were great paramhamsas, very empowered, pure devotees, preachers, scholars. Srila Prabhupada, he was motivated because he was deeply connected to the spirit of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's compassion to all the fallen souls throughout the world. And he could understand that compassion was manifesting through his Guru Maharaj in this instruction. So he put his life into everything he did. His life was his love, his compassion for such a great Vaishnava. Life is not just that which gives consciousness to the body and the mind, because the insects have that life. Everyone who's alive has that life. But when we realize what is the true essence and constitutional nature of that life force, it is unconditional love. That unconditional love was manifested in this world in its highest fullness as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nami Krishna Swarupam. Krishna comes to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. And in that love, to not only taste it himself, but to distribute that love to the people in this world. Srila Prabhupada's life was that love. And love is expressed through service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they came to this world especially to give this love, this prema, through Harinam. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that Lord Chaitanya came with a garland of prema bhakti and Harinam Sankirtan. He placed that garland around the entire planet Earth, the whole world. That was his mission. The deeper our spiritual love is, the deeper we truly want to please the object of our love. And sometimes Krishna puts obstacles in the path of a devotee just to show the world what is the nature of this Sharanagati, this loving surrender of a devotee. If Prahlad Maharaj had a very nice, respectful father who didn't agree with him but thought, whatever makes you happy makes me happy. One of those types of fathers. We would have never been concerned with Prahlad Maharaj. He may have had the same devotion and the same surrender and the same love for Krishna. But because of the obstacles he had to pass through, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, he's one of the great Mahajans, who even millions of years later, he's giving us so much inspiration. If the Pandavas, headed by Yudhisthira and Arjuna and Bhima, if they worked it out nicely with Duryodhana, there would have been no Mahabharata. There would have been no Bhagavad Gita. So throughout our Vaishnav history, if we look at Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, we saw how they grew, or how they expressed their devotion, even in very difficult experiences. For those who are on the path of purification, these difficulties, they help us to understand how serious we need to be to humble ourselves, to take shelter. To take shelter of Krishna and to take shelter of the process which brings us to Krishna. Hearing about Krishna. Chanting the holy names of Krishna. Coming to holy places with devotees to take shelter of Krishna. Worshipping the deity of Krishna. These processes of bhakti are not just things to do. They're the means by which we take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And according to the insets, the sincerity, the intensity, the urgency, and humility, that's how it is going to affect us. Bhakti is a path of what we're supposed to do, along with the spirit of how we're supposed to do it. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, he put his heart and soul, his love and compassion in everything he did. In his books, he asked us to read his books as a way of accepting his life of compassion. as a way of showing our gratitude to him for that. He's put his life and his presence in his books. And he wants to be with us individually and personally. He's inviting us to come and meet him by sincerely reading those books and discussing them among each other. And with that inspiration, to share them with others, with the whole world. He gave us the holy names. He gave us so many communities. He gave us temples. He gave us Sri Mayapur Dham. He put his heart and soul into this community. From a little straw hut, he developed it personally and inspired his loving disciples to take all sorts of risks, endure all sorts of hardships joyfully to develop it. And in the mid-1970s, he invited all his disciples from all over the world to come to Mayapur for a wonderful festival. And he was personally there, and that became an annual event. And of course, not everyone could come, but whoever possible would come. And he was setting a principle. So each and every one of you have come. Some from long distances, different countries of the world. And of course, just traveling from one part of India to another part of India is sometimes more of a hardship than crossing the whole world to get here. But you are all here. So you are all very special. And I thank you. The song we sang today is written by one of the direct personal associates of Lord Chaitanya, Vasudev Ghosh. There were three brothers that lived in this area of Navadvip: Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, and Vasu Ghosh. They were especially loved by the devotees for their kirtan. In fact, in the Ratha Yatra every year later, Lord Chaitanya assigned Vasu Ghosh and his brother to be the lead singers of one of the Sankirtan parties. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita especially describes how they would sing about the wonderful qualities and pastimes of Vrindavan. They would transport the whole devotee community into Vrindavan through their sweet songs. This song is very special because it is written as a prayer of devotion by a rare, special personality who descended from the spiritual world with Lord Chaitanya. He witnessed his Navadvip pastimes. He witnessed his pastimes in Jagannath Puri. He was among all these associates that we read about and talk about and sing about. What he's singing, what he has written, is what he personally saw with his own eyes, directly heard and felt with his heart. Sachinandan, the son of Sachi Devi, who took the role of a devotee, who sometimes, in his absolute complete humility, was like an ordinary person. He just wanted to serve. But at other times, he manifested his true tattva as the avatari. Sava avatara sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. He's the essence of all incarnations of God and given us such a simple process. Yesterday, we concluded our talk with the meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Krishna and Balaram in the Leela of Vrindavan have appeared as Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda. Special mission was to propagate Krishna Prem through Krishna Nam. When they united in the house of Nandanacharya, it was the most incredible reciprocation of love that any of the devotees have ever seen. They went to the house of Srivas. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Srivas Thakur was very kind and very gentle. He especially emphasizes these two qualities. And therefore, the devotees loved to come to have kirtan at his house. That is the first place that Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu danced together. Soon all devotees from all different parts of India began coming to Navadvip together. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Devotees from Bangladesh, devotees from the south, devotees from the west, they all started gathering in Navadvip. One day, Sachi Mata, she told her son, Gauranga, that last night I had a very mysterious dream. It made me very happy but very confused. Can you explain it to me? Lord Gauranga said, please tell me this dream. She said, in the dream, I saw yourself and Nityananda Prabhu. You were very young, and you both went on my altar. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, on the altar of Sachidev there was a Shalagram Srila, and there was Krishna Balaram deities. She said, Nityananda Prabhu came off the altar with the deity of Krishna, and you came off the altar holding the deity of Balaram. Balaram was very angry. He said, who are you to take my brother, Krishna, off the altar? My brother is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the controller of all controllers. He is the proprietor of this altar, and all of the food and all of the sweets are only meant for him. And then Nityananda said to Balaram and Krishna, he said, your days of being cowherd boys are gone. No longer is it your time to be stealing butter and eating sweets and all of these things. Now my lord, Vishwambar, Sri Gauranga has come, the best of the Brahmins. Balaram said, On the strength and the power of Krishna, if you don't put us back, if you don't give us these sweets you're taking out of our hands, then I'm going to have to bind you up and punish you. And Nityananda Prabhu said to Balaram, he said, I have no fear of you, and I have no fear of your Krishna, because my Lord is Vishwambar. And in this way you were fighting. And they were taking the sweets out of your hand, and you were taking the sweets out of their hand, and they were putting the sweets in their mouth, and you were taking the sweets out of their mouth and putting it in your mouth, and they were taking the sweets out of your mouth and putting it in their mouth. And all of a sudden Nitai said, Sachimata, Sachimata, I'm hungry. And then the dream ended. Can you explain? Gauranga said, Mata, your dream is very auspicious, but please do not tell anyone. I think today you should invite Nityananda Prabhu to our house for lunch. So she was very excited, and she immediately started gathering the ingredients for cooking lunch. Lord Chaitanya went to Srivas Thakur's house where Nityananda Prabhu was staying. And he said, Sachimata is inviting you for lunch today. But please, for one time, Nitai, behave yourself properly. Do not be mischievous. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I am always behaving properly. I am never mischievous. You are mischievous because you are mischievous. You are thinking I'm mischievous. And they left. They arrived. Gadadhar Pandit came with them and some other devotees. And Sachimata put Gornitai on the floor, and she prepared a wonderful feast for them. She personally came with the prasad and was serving to them. And then after she served one helping, she went back to the kitchen to get some more preparations. When she came back, she saw, instead of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda as she knows them, they were grown up. She saw 2 5-year-old children. One had a bluish complexion. Who was Lord Chaitanya? And the other had a white complexion. And they both had 4 arms. And they were just little boys. And they're just sitting there in front of the plates of prasad. When she saw that, it affected her heart so deeply with ecstatic emotions. What is she seeing? She's understood that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are Krishna and Balaram. She fell unconscious. Her hair loosened, her sari kind of went to disarray, and she just fell to the ground. And when she did it, she was holding a pot. The pot fell, and rice went all over the floor. Lord Chaitanya, immediately, he resumed his Lord Chaitanya form. And he jumped up, and he picked up Sachimata and said, "Mother, mother, please tell me what happened. Why did you fall like this?" She didn't say a word. She just kind of, you know, straightened herself up a little. And then she went into a private room all alone and cried, cried, and cried in ecstatic love. Meanwhile, Ishan, who was her personal assistant, his whole life practically, he was the personal assistant of Sachimata and Vishnupriya. He cleaned everything up. He cleaned all the rice and the sabjis off the floor and finished serving Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And then whatever food fell on the floor later on, he ate it as his Mahaprasad remnants. Lord Chaitanya, in the house of Srivas, one day, they chanted all day, kirtan all day. Then he said to his devotees, "Why are we wasting our nights sleeping? We should chant all night also." Everyone said, "Jai." They didn't ask, "Are you serious? All day, all night, chanting and dancing?" They just, "Yes." Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because they were not on the bodily concept. We spoke yesterday, Lord Chaitanya's instruction to all of his devotees at the very beginning of his kirtan movement, he taught the devotees the spirit in which we must imbibe in order to really perform kirtan. Trinad api sunichena, taror api sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humility like grass. Forgiveness, tolerance, forbearance like a tree. No sense of false prestige, no arrogance, eager to give all respect and honor to other people. And no expectation or demand to receive it yourself. In this spirit, we could truly be the servant of the servant of the servant. And then, kirtaniya sada hari, then we could chant the names of the Lord constantly. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reveals according to our surrender. Kalikale namarupe Krishna avatar. In the age of Kali, Krishna has incarnated in his name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. Krishna is his name. Nam Namakari Baho Nija Sarva Shaktis. And the Supreme Lord, who has many names, has invested all of his divine names with his presence and his power. his power of grace. So this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, is Krishna's expectation of how we are meant to surrender to the name of God that has so mercifully come to this world. And according to that surrender, the name reveals himself to us. So when Lord Chaitanya was at Srivasa's house with all of these incredible devotees, it is declared to be Rasastali. Navadvipa is none different than Vrindavan. And the different places of Krishna's holy leelas of Vrindavan are all here in Navadvipa. Nitya leela, it's an eternal pastime. And Srivas Thakur is the place of the rasa dance. But Lord Chaitanya, so merciful to the fallen people of this Kali Yuga. It's none different than the rasa leela. But the rasa leela is so confined only to the purest, most elevated and detached Vaishnavas. In Vrindavan, Shiva had to take the form of a gopi, and then he was just at the edge of the Rasleela to guard it. Lakshmi was doing tapasya across the Yamuna for many years, but she could only meditate on the Rasleela. She couldn't come in. So the Rasleela is very, very restricted only to the highest, purest, sweetest lovers in the mood of gopis. But here the Rasleela. Sannyasis. They're all completely detached people. And they're dancing. But that same, by understanding and participating in the mood of the devotee's kirtan in Srivas Angam, actually gives us the true entrance into the Rasleela. If we artificially meditate on the Rasleela, it will probably not go beyond our imagination. But when we perform kirtan in the spirit of Srivasangam, then by the mercy of the Panchatattva, we are brought into the leelas of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Lord Chaitanya was always in the mood of a devotee. He would love to take the dust of the feet of the devotees. He would love to take any opportunity to serve the devotees, especially such senior people as Advaitacharya and Srivas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Haridas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit. He loved to serve them. And all of them knew that he was Krishna. Murari Gupta was a devotee of Ram. He knew this is Ram. There were devotees of all different incarnations. In fact, our acharyas have explained that Lord Chaitanya, he gave the devotees of so many different incarnations the elevation of entering into the gopis' love for Krishna. Special feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu. But in Srivasa's courtyard, when Lord Chaitanya was there and they were having kirtan, Advaita, it describes directly, Chaitanya Bhagava, that he was dancing in the pure mood of the love of the gopis. This is the power of Mahaprabhu. They knew he was Krishna. And they wanted to worship him as Krishna. But he only wanted to serve them. And his service was especially to induce them all to chant and dance together and absorb themselves totally in remembering Krishna through kirtan and katha. On some very special occasions, they would chant all day and all night. On a very special day, there may be a minute or two where Lord Chaitanya would actually enter into the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and just wholly receive their love and mercy in that spirit. Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur tell us, in Lord Chaitanya's whole Leela, there was only one time for 7 praharas, sat prahara bhava, Lord Chaitanya, for 21 continuous hours, he was manifesting his mood of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his various incarnations to receive fully the love of his devotees. It is called Mahaprakash Leela, where the pastime of the greatest of revelations. May I try to tell the story to you? It was like any other day in Srivasangam. Lord Chaitanya was walking with Nityananda and he said, let us go to the house of Srivas. And they went to the house of Srivas, and soon all the other devotees from all directions found out that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have come to the house of Srivas. So they, Saravadharaman Parityajya Mame Kam Sharanam Birja Aham Tom Saravapapi Bhyo Moksha Yishami Masucha. They just left behind everything else they were doing, like the gopis coming to Krishna and the Rasleela. They just left everything behind and came to Srivasangam, because they knew there would be a wonderful kirtan. And when everyone was gathered, like always before, Lord Chaitanya raised his arms, Hari Bol! And there were such incredible kirtan singers, Mukunda Dat, Srivas Thakur, Basu Ghosh. They began to sing. Lord Chaitanya danced, and he danced in the mood of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya came to teach the world how to be devotees through his own actions. Krishna in the role of his own devotee. He was giving all respect to others, and he was calling out Krishna's name just like a devotee who's in separation from Krishna. Suddenly, something extraordinary happened. Lord Chaitanya walked to the altar where there was the throne of Lord Vishnu. He sat on the throne of Vishnu. The devotees were mystified. Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Every time we call him Vishnu or Krishna, every time we approach him as God, he becomes so disturbed, he blocks his ears with his hands and goes, Vishnu, 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 never, ever, ever call me the Supreme Lord. I am the eternal servant of the Lord. Every living being is an eternal servant of the Lord. We can never become God. Never contaminate my ears by calling me God. That's what he would always do. But on this day, he sat on Vishnu's throne. And he looked upon everybody. With folded hands, they gazed upon him while they were chanting in kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Sing the Abhishek song." And everybody knew exactly what was happening. They began to sing special songs that are only sung when you're performing the Abhishekam for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like on Janamastami. They were praying, they were chanting Purusha Shukta and Abhishek. And then Lord Chaitanya, he was willing to accept Abhishek. Suddenly devotees ran with pots, clay pots from the Ganga. They could make preparations immediately. Usually, Hari Bhakti Vilas says, usually when there's an Abhishek, it's either 4 buckets or 8 buckets or 16 buckets or pots or 64 pots or 108 pots. That's a standard. They bathe Lord Chaitanya, Advaita, Nityananda, Gadadhar, these highest among the devotees were pouring water on Lord Chaitanya's head. Thousands of pots of water. And so many other devotees and the assistants, the servants and maidservants of Srivas Thakur's house, they were all helping. They were bringing thousands of pots of water and filling them again and bringing them and filling them. And there was one simple lady. She was just a distance away, carrying the water, putting them in nice little lines, and then one of the senior devotees would take that water and present it to one of the more senior devotees, and one of those more senior devotees would offer it to one of the more senior devotees, and it would get to the most senior devotees like Nityananda, and then he would pour it on Lord Chaitanya's head. So this girl, she didn't have much of an education. She was coming from a poor family. Her name was Dukhi. Dukhi means the miserable one. Now, why would any mother and father name their child miserable? Dukhi. Out of their love. There's no other explanation. Obviously, she was coming from such a suffering background, where perhaps so many of their other children had died or suffered diseases, and they wanted Yamaraj to feel sorry for her. So they named her Dukhi, the miserable one. Because if somebody has that name, you have to feel sorry for them. So this is funny. So she was just a simple lady from a very miserable background, but now she was with Srivas, and with great devotion. She wasn't asking anything. She wasn't getting any attention. In fact, nobody there even noticed her. She was just bringing the water from the Ganga and putting it in nice little lines. And Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas, "Who is this?" Srivas said, "Oh, over there. Oh, she's Dukhi." Lord Chaitanya noticed very lovingly her service. Anybody here could do that service. Just carry some water and put it in its place and make sure the lines are nice. Doesn't take a PhD. Doesn't take going to the Mayapur Institute of Higher Education. All it takes is she had sincere devotion. And of course, the Mayapur Institute of Higher Education is meant to give us an education with that devotion. That's why it's so glorious. But she, Lord Chaitanya was watching her, and he was so pleased. And she felt such an inner connection with Lord Chaitanya, doing the most insignificant task as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And Lord Chaitanya told Srivas and everybody, all the acharyas and the avatars that were in the room, they all heard what Lord Chaitanya said. He said, the word dukkhi does not sit properly in my heart. Today, I name her Sukhi, which means the happy one. And literally, that's what happened. She went from dukkhi to sukhi. He gave her the highest perfection of yoga, the very essence of all the Vedic scriptures, the highest revelation of liberation. He gave her prema bhakti. He gave her the love of the Brijabasis in Vrindavan. At that very moment, eternal, ecstatic joy, anandam buddhivardhanam. Why? Because she was sincerely trying to be the servant of the servant of the servant as a way to please the Lord. This is how the Mahaprakash begins. He gives his mercy to somebody who's apparently an insignificant person, but in his heart, to Lord Chaitanya, she was supremely significant because of her sincere devotion. After giving him that, they dried his body, and then they put nice silken clothes and ornaments. They offered padya, asana, achman, madhuparak. They offered him all sorts of offerings. And then Lord Chaitanya said, please feed me. They brought him coconuts, bananas, puffed rice, regular rice, all sorts of fruits. And everything they put in his hand, he immediately ate it. He said, bring more. It was like the Govardhan Leela. However much they brought, he ate it instantly. I'm not exaggerating. I'm only telling you what the scriptures say. They brought Lord Chaitanya thousands of big pots of milk. He drank it all. Thousands of pots of yogurt, dahi. He ate it all. Thousands and thousands of bananas. Ate them. Thousands of coconuts. He drank the coconuts. He ate the... what's in the coconuts? The malai. And he kept saying, bring more. They had to... they were running and going to their houses and bringing everything they had, and they were going to different shops wherever there was, you know, pure Brahmin selling pure things. They were going and they were getting thousands and thousands of sandesh. Sandesh in Bengal means, in those days, sweets. He was eating thousands of sweets, thousands of sandeshes, and thousands of fruits. He just kept eating more and more, and they just kept giving it to him. As Krishna, the whole universe, in fact, all the universes, are within the belly of the universal form. And he's the source of the universal form. So what could he not eat? He was revealing his opulences, and the devotees were so happy.
then Lord Chaitanya, to give happiness to his devotees. He revealed to them who they were in their past. And he revealed so many instances in their lives, in this past life and in previous lives, that were so important to them. Now Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is manifesting his omniscience as the knower of everything, past, present, and future, for the pleasure of his devotees. He looked at Srivas. He said, Srivas, do you remember many years ago, you were sitting in Kulia, the place where Devananda Pandit had his school. You were sitting and listening to him recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even though Devananda Pandit himself doesn't understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. He doesn't understand the sweetness and the essence of devotion that is within every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nor does his students. But just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you went into such an ecstasy remembering Krishna that you lost your external consciousness. You went into such an internal state of love that you began to cry. Not intentionally, like some people do these days. Because if you do it like that way, then the Lord in your heart. Srila Prabhupada says, when we intentionally try to cry to show that we love Krishna, that those tears wash away all the conclusions of the Vedas. We should not show off our love for God. If we do that, it means we really don't have love for God. Srivas just went into a state of ecstasy in all humility. And the students of Devananda Pandit, Lord Chaitanya said, they didn't understand that you're a great saint. They thought that they were very great. So they picked you up and they took you outside the school and just left you on the ground and then walked back. They treated you with such disrespect. And Srivas, do you remember that? Many, many years ago, you were sitting on the ground and you were feeling so bad that you were treated that way. And you went back to your home and you took shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, from Vaikuntha, I descended into your heart to give you the ecstasy of the love that Srimad Bhagavatam invokes. And as you heard Srimad Bhagavatam, as you were reading, you felt such ecstatic love for me like never before. Do you remember that? I was the one who came into your heart and gave you that experience. Srivas wept. He remembered it well. Then Lord Chaitanya turned to his own teacher, Gangadas Pandit, who was now Lord Chaitanya's surrendered devotee. This is Navadvip. Gangadas Pandit was Lord Chaitanya's teacher. He was teaching so many things to Lord Chaitanya and giving him so many instructions and how to understand the scriptures, how to understand Sanskrit grammar, how to behave, proper character. And when Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya and Gangadas Pandit saw who he was, he surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya, during Mahaprakash, he turned to Gangadas. He said, Gangadas, do you remember long ago the Yavana king with his soldiers? They were in a violent attack, exploiting a
and you took your family to run away.
Because you knew if they got caught, terrible things could happen.
So you were running with your family and running at night, and you came to the river Ganga. It was dark. You needed to get a boat to get across the Ganges because you feared, not for yourself, but if these Yavana soldiers were to come, they would surely exploit your wife and your children. They would touch them in the unspeakable ways. And what could you do to protect them? You were praying, you were crying for a boatman to come. And the hours were passing and nothing. And then you were thinking, rather than having these demoniac people come and do bad things to my family, we will drown ourselves in the Ganga. That was your determination. The night ended. It started getting late, and you know at any moment you're going to be discovered. Do you remember Ganga Das Pandit? At that time, a boatman came. I personally descended from Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and took the form of that boatman. I got a boat from the other side of the Ganges. I rode that boat all the way to where you were. And when you saw me with such desperation, you were crying out, "Boatman, boatman, please save us, save us." In such desperation, you were crying out to that boatman, I will pay you one coin. I will pay you two extra coins. Please, I'll give you my life. I'll give you everything I have. Just save us." And that boatman brought you on his boat and personally rowed you across the river to safety. I was that boatman, Ganga Das. No one else in the world except you and your family know this story. But I was there to serve you. When Ganga Das heard this, he fell to the ground crying in love and in gratitude. Sri Gauranga told his devotees, "Bring Sridhar." Some of the devotees asked, "Who is Sridhar?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Bring Sridhar. He's a simple banana seller. He lives in Simantadweep. Just go in that direction," because now it was nighttime. Sridhar, he chants the holy names of Lord Krishna throughout the night in such deep feelings of love and separation from Krishna. If you just head towards Simantadweep, then you will hear his voice and just follow the sound of that voice until you reach him and bring him here. Who is Sridhar? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was Nimai Pandit, very restless, sometimes appearing very arrogant as a grammar teacher and student, he was totally concealing from everybody the truth of who he really was. He had not yet even revealed to anyone his inclinations toward devotion. He was just totally engrossed in his studies and his teaching career. He was still a boy. Every day, he would go to Sridhar. Sridhar had a little house made of grass, one room. Lord Chaitanya would ask him, "What is the price of your banana leaves?" Sridhar made his living by selling banana leaves. And sometimes he would get banana roots. And other times he would get bananas. Very simple. And he was so honest. Vrindavan Das Thakur said he had the same type of honesty as Maharaj Yudhisthira. Whatever he said was totally true. And he felt so much concern for everybody that he would charge the very least he could to not inconvenience anyone. How many businessmen do you know who are like that? Usually we try to get as much profit as possible. But Sridhar would try to get as little as possible so he wouldn't inconvenience anyone. He had the lowest prices, not for the purpose of making more money, but just out of respect for people. He was so poor. He could hardly survive. How much money can you make by selling banana leaves and a few bananas and roots? And every day, whatever he made, he would divide it in half. And the first half, he would take it all to get offerings of food and flowers to give to Mother Ganga. He was such a great devotee of Krishna. He had that faith in Mother Ganga. It's not just a river. Why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Krishna, Ramchandra, all these greatest of personalities that ever lived and avatars, they all worshipped the river Ganges. Because it's her name is Vishnupadi. She is the water that washed the feet of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Vamana appeared within this world, Gangamai washed his feet. Therefore, the Ganga is Charanamrita. Gangamai is also the Hladini Shakti of the Supreme Lord, Sri Radharani's expansion, as is Yamuna. The water of the Ganga is her body. Her spirit is there. Just like our spirit is conscious of every part of our body. She's liquid prema. Mother Ganga is the dear beloved goddess of the Lord. And being so sacred and so pure, whoever connects to Mother Ganga with the right state of consciousness, all our sins are washed away. And if we approach with true devotion, she actually not only cleanses us, but awakens love of Krishna, love of God within us. This is what all the great scriptures and all the great acharyas and yogis have taught about Mother Ganga. Sridhar had such faith. What better way to serve Krishna than serving Mother Ganga? Advaita Acharya, he heard from Gautamiya Tantra that that Krishna will fulfill your desires because he'll be so pleased if you offer him water from the Ganges and tulsi leaves. So it was his devotion, half of his income every day was offered to Mother Ganga in her worship. And whatever is left, he somehow survived. Nimai, he would come, ask, what is the price of your bananas? Sridhar would give the price. Nimai would say, I will give you half. Why you are charging so much? Every day, Nimai would argue for 2 hours the price of bananas and banana leaves with Sridhar. And we get a little glimpse of some of their conversations. Nimai would tell Sridhar, well, you're always chanting Krishna's names. You're such a devotee of Krishna. You offer half your income to Krishna. What is Krishna doing for you? Look all around. There's atheists. There's followers of the snake goddess Manasi. There's followers of Durga. They have nice houses. They have good food. They have nice clothes. Everyone in Navadvip. But look at you. Said, look at your house. It's a one-room grass hut. Have any of you ever lived in a grass hut? Doesn't cost much. And I see there's so many holes in the roof where the rain comes in and everything like that. There's no floor, just dirt. And look at your clothes. You wear the same clothes every day. And your clothes have so many holes in them. And because you don't have money for a needle and thread, when there's holes in your clothes, you just tie a knot of the two sides to close it. And I see right now at least 10 knots in your clothes. And look at your body. So thin. You're practically starving. You don't get enough food. What is Krishna giving to you? Why do you worship Krishna? Why are you constantly chanting his names? Sridhar smiled. He said, I'm happy. I'm happy with what I have. I don't require any more. I'm happy just chanting Krishna's names and serving Krishna. He said, in my life I have seen. There is a king. The king has a magnificent palace. He's eating off plates that are gold and silver. He has a throne bedecked with priceless jewels. He wears the most magnificent clothing. He's eating the best of foods. He has so many servants, so many maidservants. He has power over everyone. And then I see a bird who's just living in a tree, just a little nest of grass, just eating some berries. In the passing of time, I do not see any difference between the quality of life between the bird and the king. Because they are both just getting whatever karma they have from previous lifetimes. It's coming and it's going and it's coming and it's going. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has arranged the laws of karma. And they're both passing their time and they're both going to die. I don't see that one is any happier than the other necessarily. So I'm happy with what I have. I have Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, you are cheating. You are cheating everyone. (laughs) He said, how am I cheating? He said, you, by selling your bananas, have become such a rich man. You have such a treasure, and you've buried that treasure. You're hiding it from everyone so they don't see, and you're pretending to be a poor man. Sridhar said, whatever you see is what I am. Lord Chaitanya said, someday I am going to reveal the great treasure that you are hiding. And then Lord Chaitanya said, give me the bananas for free. Sridhar said, how will I survive if I keep giving them to you for free? He said, I want them for free. He said, then Lord Chaitanya said, I am the father of the river Ganga that you worship. She is coming from my lotus feet. Sridhar blocked his ears. He became afraid. He said, what are you saying? How mischievous can you be? You're a little Brahmin boy, and are you not even afraid of offending the Supreme Lord or Mother Ganga?
Lord Chaitanya said, give me the bananas. And Sridhar said, take the bananas. Please take as many bananas and roots and leaves as you like. And Lord Chaitanya would just take them. This every day. In a very simple little place, Sridhar would sell his banana leaves. And every day, he would wait for Nimai to come. He didn't understand who Nimai was, but he loved Nimai. If Nimai was a little late, his heart would be pining in separation and eagerness to see this little boy again. He didn't know he was Krishna, but he loved him even more than Krishna. And each day Nimai would come to argue the price of bananas for about 2 hours. This is Sridhar. Besides Nimai coming and doing that, nobody else knew who he was. Whoever did know this little banana seller, nobody knew his name. They just called him Kolavecha, the banana seller. But he didn't want name, he didn't want fame, he didn't want wealth. He was happy just chanting. And all night long he would chant in separation from Krishna. And atheistic, materialistic people who were around him, they would hear him chanting at night. They would scream at him, they would blaspheme him, they would criticize him in every way. They would yell, Sridhar, you're such a hypocrite. You call yourself a devotee of Krishna. You're not, you don't have any devotion. You're so poor, you're so useless that you're crying out these names of Krishna due to the pangs of hunger in your stomach all night long. And sometimes one of these people would take a vegetable and just throw it at Sridhar and say, just eat this and shut up. And Sridhar would smile, chanting Krishna's names. The devotees heard the voice of Sridhar singing in the night, and they followed the sound vibration, and there they came to Sridhar. By this time, Sridhar understood who Lord Chaitanya was. He was Gauranga Mahaprabhu,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee said to Sridhar, Lord Gauranga is calling you. Sridhar, so humble, so unassuming. He said, he's calling me? Why would he call me? They said, he wants you to come now. Sridhar was so moved with humility and gratitude that he fainted. So the devotees just picked him up and carried him. And they brought him to Srivasangam. And there Lord Chaitanya is sitting on the throne of Vishnu getting worship. You know, devotees were giving, fanning him with chamaras. And Nityananda Prabhu was holding an umbrella over his head. And Gadadhar Pandit was bringing him constantly different chewing spices. And Advaita was singing and everyone was having kirtan. And they carried Srivas and put him right in front of Lord Gauranga. Sridhar was the very embodiment of humility and simplicity. Lord Chaitanya smiled upon him from the throne and said, you are always calling for me. Throughout the night you are calling for me. It is very special because every day when Sachi Macha cooked for Lord Chaitanya, it was his insistence, he insisted that all his meals would be served on the banana leaves that he stole from Kolavecha Sridhar. The sabjis were in little cups that were handmade by Kolavecha Sridhar. He used to love when Sachi would make the banana roots of Sridhar into beautiful sabjis. And on the grass little hut that he lived in, sometimes squashes, wild squashes, would grow. And Sridhar would send that squash to Sachi Mata. And she would cook it in milk and offer it to Lord Chaitanya. Patram pushpam palam toya. Lord Chaitanya is now gazing upon Sridhar. You are always calling for me, and today I am calling for you. Sridhar just looked up, wearing his rags, still very skinny. He said, he looked at Lord Chaitanya and cried, said, please, Lord, forgive me. I am just a dog. Then Lord Chaitanya told Sridhar, just see. Lord Chaitanya manifested darshan just according to Kolavecha Sridhar's inner love for Krishna. In Krishna Leela, Sridhar is a cowherd boy. He saw on the throne of Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya now had the complexion of a tamal tree. He had a threefold bending form with peacock feather in his hair. He was Krishna, Shamsundar. And just to the side of him was Balaram. He saw Krishna and Balaram, his worshipable Ishtadev, in Vrindavan. He saw Lakshmi Devi offering prayers. And he saw Shiva and Brahma offering prayers. Ananta Dev with 1,000 hoods offering prayers. He saw Sanak Kumar, Narada Muni, and Sukadev Goswami. They're all offering prayers to Krishna and Balaram.
Sridhar, in ecstatic love, he fainted, unconscious. Lord Chaitanya touched him and awakened him. And he said, Sridhar, offer prayers to me. This is what you want to do in your heart. Offer me the prayers of your love.
Sridhar said, I have no education. I don't know how to offer prayers. What am I going to say? Lord Chaitanya said, say anything. Whatever comes from your heart, just speak it, and I will accept it as loving devotional prayers. At that moment, Lord Chaitanya called for Saraswati to come on the tongue of Sridhar. So that whatever was in his heart could be expressed with eloquence. Kulavecha Sridhar, he offered beautiful prayers. Jai Jaya Shri Gaura Chandra. All glories to you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan. And now you have come to be Navadvip Chandra. You've come to be the Lord of Navadvip. Your nature is you love to be conquered by devotion. This is the highest mystery and secret of all the Vedic literatures. That although you are the all-powerful, supreme source of everything that exists, the maintainer, the creator, the annihilator of all creations, it is your nature to be subordinate to the love of a devotee. When you're conquered by a love of devotee, you take that love within your own heart. But now, you have taken the love of your heart and spread it throughout Navadvip Dham. The power of devotion, bhakti. Bhishma. In the battle of Kurukshetra, you made a promise you will not raise a weapon or fight in the battle. Bhishma, by his devotion, he decided he wanted to show the world how you are conquered by bhakti. And by the power of his devotion, he defeated you. When he was about to defeat Arjuna, you jumped off the chariot, you picked up the weapon of a chariot wheel, and you came and attacked Bhishma with your eyes red like coals. Bhishma caused you to break your own promise to show the world that you are subordinate to bhakti. Yashoda Mai. Although the greatest yogis and the greatest jnanis and the greatest ascetics, they cannot control you. Yashoda Mai is a simple lady, a cowherd girl. But by her bhakti, she tied you up with the rope of her love. And in this pastime, you showed the whole world that you are bound, subordinate, and controlled by the love of your devotee. You are Sarveshwareshwara, the controller of all controllers. But you're yearning and longing to be under the control of bhakti, of your devotee's love. Satyabhama. When Rukmini was given a parijata flower by Krishna, Satyabhama, your queen, Krishna's queen, said, I want a parijata tree. So just to satisfy her desire, you went to Indraloka to get a parijata tree. And Indra only had one parijata tree. And that was the pride of his whole kingdom. When Krishna asked for that parijata tree, Indra declared war against Krishna. Krishna had to fight a war to bring Satyabhama a parijata tree. And in this way, Krishna wanted to show the world that he's controlled, subordinate by the love of his devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that you were having a game. Balaram was the leader of one side of cowherd boys, and you were the leader of the others. And whoever lost the game had to show everyone among the cowherd community that I lost. This person has defeated me by carrying them on your shoulders. And this simple little gopa, Sridhama, he defeated you. He defeated you in wrestling. And just to show everyone that you were defeated, you blissfully carried him on your shoulders. To show the world that you are conquered by bhakti. Devotees, they beg for devotional service. They beg you for this devotion. And then when you give them this devotion, then you accept defeat from that devotion. And then Sridhar said, but I have no devotion. I'm just a useless dog. I have no devotion. Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, ask for a boon. Anything you want, I will give you.
I can give you anything. I can give you
a kingdom and make you a king.
Sridhar said, that will simply be a disturbance to me. I have no interest.
You're so poor. I'll give you palaces. I'll give you such wealth that the world has never seen. I can give you elevation to heavenly planets. Like Indra, you.
He said, I have no interest. That was totally boring to Sridhar.
He was chanting Krishna's name. Having the wealth and the opulence and the power of Indra is boring compared to just sitting in his grass house chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, I will award you all the 8 mystic cities.
Anima, Mahima, Lagima, Prapti.
Where you can perform supernatural miracles. Anything you want, you can get. You can be in any form you like. You can go anywhere you want. Thousands of
births yogis have to perform tapasya to even get one of these siddhis. I will give you all 8 perfectly. Ask.
Sridhar said, mystic siddhis will only be a disturbance. I have no interest.
I'll give you liberation from suffering forever.
I have no interest in liberation.
Ask for something, anything. Just ask for something. I'll give you elevation to the spiritual world.
Sridhar said, please, Lord, be peaceful. I really don't want anything. I'm happy.
Lord Chaitanya said, I am peaceful, but I want to give you something. For my pleasure, ask for something.
Sridhar said, for your pleasure, if I must ask for something, please give me this. May that little boy who came to steal my bananas be my Lord birth after birth after birth.
And in every birth I may take, let me never forget
within the core of my heart that little boy. In every birth I take, my Lord, please come and steal my bananas. When he said that, Lord Chaitanya began to cry.
All the devotees began to cry.
Such love, such simple devotion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy, he said, Sridhar, I grant you this benediction of eternal, pure, loving bhakti devotion. He fulfilled whatever Sridhar asked for. Nadanamna janamna sundarim kabitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. Lord Chaitanya taught us this beautiful prayer in Shikshastakam. My Lord, I pray not for wealth or for sensual pleasures or fame, prosperity, high knowledge. I do not even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you and please you. Birth after birth after birth. Kalavecha Sridhar was the embodiment in its perfection of that prayer. Whatever Lord Chaitanya taught us, those are jackals. It's very auspicious. Everything's auspicious. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this beautiful pastime, taught that it is not through power, prestige, it's not about how much money we have, it's not about how much knowledge we have, it's not about how many followers we have. Krishna's pleased simply by our devotion, our unmotivated
spirit to serve him. Seeing the devotion of Sridhar, all the devotees were bowing to him, crying, weeping, so moved. Lord Chaitanya revealed the great treasure of Sridhar's love to the world. And anyone who hears this story with sincere appreciation, Lord Chaitanya will give the treasure of love of God. Lord Chaitanya turned to Advaitacharya, who is also named Nara. He said, Nara, please ask a boon, anything. Advaitacharya, with folded hands, smiled. He said, whatever boon I prayed for and longed for and fasted for, you incarnated in this world, you have fulfilled all my desires. Then Lord Chaitanya called Murari Gupta. He said, Murari, look. Murari looked, and he saw Lord Chaitanya become Lord Ramchandra. Sri Ram. He had the complexion of Durva grass. He was sitting in the Virasan in a very, very majestic pose, holding his bow with a quiver of arrows. He had beautiful lotus-like eyes. On his left side was Sita. On his right side was Lakshman. And all around him were various kings of monkeys offering prayers and singing his glories. Murari saw this. And as he was looking, he looked down and he saw that he had a tail. Then he looked at his own body and he was a monkey. He fainted. Lord Chaitanya touched him in the form of Ramchandra. And he said, Murari, he said, that thief, Ravana, who kidnapped Sita, he lit your tail on fire. And with that burning tail, you burned down his entire kingdom and devastated his entire dynasty. You do not remember, but I am reminding you, I am your beloved Lord Sri Ram, and you are my beloved devotee Hanuman. Look here, to my left is Sita. Do you remember when you saw in the Ashokvan of Sri Lanka Sita Devi, how she was being tormented by Ravana? You cried, a shoreless ocean of tears. Bow down to her now, Hanumanji. And here is Lakshman. Look at Lakshman. When he was struck by a javelin, that mystic astral weapon, you carried the Gandhamadana mountain all the way from long distance, and you saved Lakshman's life. I am giving you this remembrance. Murari Gupta, overwhelmed with love, was speechless. Lord Chaitanya, in the form of Ramchandra, his beloved, told him to ask for any boon, whatever benediction you like.
Murari Gupta was fully satisfied just serving the Lord. He said, "My beloved Lord, I do not want anything. I only want to sing your names and your glories. Please give me the benediction that I will never forget you. That birth after birth after birth, I will always live with those devotees who consider you their master and consider themselves your servants. My only wish, let me forever be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants and always chant your names and glories." All the devotees, upon hearing Murari Gupta's expression of pure love, were deeply moved. And Lord Chaitanya granted him his benediction. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that to everyone, he said, "Murari is the name of Krishna, and Gupta means secret." Although Murari Gupta is a householder with a wife and family, and he's a doctor, especially an Ayurvedic doctor that's, you know, making different formulations of herbs and leaves and taking people's pulses and helping people. Whoever Murari Gupta treats, he cures both their physical, mental, and spiritual illness. And whoever considers Murari Gupta to be just an ordinary family man or an ordinary doctor will never be favored by Krishna. Because Murari Gupta, although he's appearing like a very ordinary man, he is always keeping Krishna secret in his heart. And Krishna is always within his heart, manifesting himself, conquered by the love of Murari. Chaitanya Bhagavat tells anyone who hears this story with devotion will be given pure love and devotion. Should I continue? Is it too late? Or... Lord Chaitanya then, sitting on the throne of Vishnu, he turned toward Haridas Thakur. He called out with a voice like sweet thunder. He said, "Haridas, your body is better than mine. We are from the same caste. You and me, our heart is one." Do you remember, Haridas? Do you remember when you were living in Phuliagram? At that time, you resided in a cave near Ganga. And every day you would chant 300,000 names. This story is before Lord Chaitanya even incarnated in this world. He's giving the memory to Haridas. He said, wherever you would go with profound, genuine humility and respect, you would share the glories of the holy name with others. But because you were born in an untouchable family, because you were born from the Yavana race,
The Yavanas were very offended. Hindu Brahmins condemned you because you were untouchable. And the Muslim military and leaders and Qazis, they condemned you because you were born a Muslim and you were chanting Hindu names of God. So you were being discriminated against, you were being condemned on all sides.
But to the common people, you were the most merciful, most compassionate, most enlightened person they ever saw.
They just wanted to be with you. They wanted to hear from you. And whoever you were with, you were inducing them to chant the holy names of Krishna.
You were brought before the king. Surrounded by Qazis. The king said, "You are born from our race. You have a very good religion. Why are you acting like these low-class Hindu people?" At that time, Haridas just laughed. He's been arrested. He's surrounded by powerful guards and militaries who are about to kill him. He was just brought through a prison. And he laughs. He's totally fearless. He said, "Just see how you are under the spell of Maya." He tells that to the king and all the Qazis. He said, there's one God. And that one God has many names and has appeared in many ways through different religions and different scriptures throughout time. That one God is the Supreme Father, the Supreme Mother, the Supreme Fountainhead of everything that exists. Whatever we have is the property of that one God. We are all brothers and sisters under that one God. It is only under illusion, under Maya, that we make these differentiations or differences. He said the same God that is known as Allah or Khuda in the Quran is known as Vishnu or Krishna in the Puranas. So what is the harm? My heart is irresistibly attracted to Krishna. The Qazis were telling the king he must be killed, tortured and killed. But the king really liked him. He said, "Haridas, just do this. Just worship your Krishna privately and don't tell everybody about him. And then we'll just let you live in peace. Otherwise, we're going to have to torture you and kill you." Haridas laughed again.
He said, "You can't cut my body into 1,000 pieces and cut each piece into 1,000 pieces and cut those pieces into thousands of pieces, and every one of those pieces will be chanting the holy names of Krishna."
Krishna! 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 Krishna!
You are the king. You are meant to be fair to everyone and equal. So if I'm doing something wrong, then if a Hindu was chanting Muslim names, give me the same punishment you would give him.
The king looked at the Qazis and said, "What do you want to do with this animal?" And they said, "Beat him in a public exhibition of torture through all the 22 marketplaces of Phuliagram until he's dead."
The king said, if you survive this, then I will believe in your God. Take him away. These brutal executioners. Brutal executioners. Very powerful, with big sticks and whips. They grabbed him by the hair. They dragged him. And the whole town was there. It was public. They threw him on the ground in one marketplace and brutally blasphemed him, kicked him, whipped him, and beat him with all their strength. The people there, they couldn't tolerate it. The common people were begging the executioners, please let him go. I'll bribe you. I'll give you any amount of money I have. Just let him go. He's an innocent man. But they kept beating him. And they beat him and beat him and whipped him and then dragged him to the next marketplace and did it again. And Haridas, the whole time, was just looking upon them with compassion and chanting Krishna's names. There was nothing they could do. Practically from sunrise to sunset, they were nonstop beating him. Through all 22 marketplaces. They were so exhausted, they couldn't move. They were practically paralyzed. They said, Haridas, we have no strength to beat you. Who are you? We've been doing this for years. There has never been any man who has lived past 2 or 3 marketplaces. You've survived all 22. And not only that, but every moment you've been chanting Krishna's names. And even though we're totally determined with envy, with cruelty to kill you, you're looking at us like you feel sorry for us. Like we're suffering. Haridas said, I forgive you. I'm only praying that Vishnu will give you pure devotional service. The executioner said, because you're still alive, we are going to be killed. Because we were ordered to kill you. Haridas, he said, oh, if my being alive is a disturbance for you, just see what I will do. He smiled and he sat kind of in a lotus position. He closed his eyes. And all symptoms of lice disappeared. They tested him. There was no pulse, there was no breath, there was no heartbeat. He's dead. So they picked him up and brought him back to the palace of the king and threw him on the doorstep. He said, here he is, he's dead. The king said, well, bury him. The Qazi said, no, he doesn't deserve to be buried. If he's buried, he will get some auspicious destination. The king said, then burn him. The Brahmin said, no, he does not deserve to be burned. Because he'll get purified if he's burned. Then what should we do with him? Throw his corpse in the river like a piece of trash. So they picked up his body. At first they couldn't pick it up for it was so heavy. And then it got very light and they just threw it in the river. And he floated sometimes underwater, sometimes above the water, sometimes about a kilometer or so. He just floated. And then he came back to consciousness. He was in a state of deep samadhi, meditating on Krishna. Then all the life symptoms came back to his body, and he climbed up
on the riverbank. And you know what he did? Incredible. Amazing. Unbelievable. He walked right back to the king's palace. And the king saw him. And all the executioners were there, and the qazis were there. He forgave them. He said, no, I'm sorry, Haridas. I'm sorry if I inconvenienced you anyway. He was so humble, so respectful, so kind. And the king, he said, there's one God, and you are connected to that one God. And you could chant any names you want anywhere you want. But please forgive me for my offenses. I didn't know who you are. Then Haridas walked along the Ganga, and there were devotees and Brahmins and all people there. And he led them in kirtan, and they were all dancing and chanting together. And somebody asked Haridas, why is it that you had to get beaten that way? And Haridas, so humble, he said, actually, I deserved so much worse. He said, because I heard Krishna and his devotees being criticized so terribly, I actually deserved worse than that. But Krishna is so kind, he just gave me a little. Now let us chant together. Lord Chaitanya, sitting on the throne of Vishnu here in Navadvip Dham at Srivasangam, is reminding Haridas of that. He said, when they were beating you with all of their strength again and again and again, there's no possibility of a human body surviving. I was so angry. To protect you, my beloved devotee, I descended from Vaikuntha with my Sudarshan Chakra to sever the heads of these cruel, envious, demoniac people. But from the core of your heart, with tears of compassion, you were praying to me to forgive them. You were praying to me to forgive them and give them the highest benediction of pure love of God. With all my strength, I wanted to punish them. But your compassion was more powerful than me. My Sudarshan Chakra would not move, however hard I tried to activate it, due to your prayers of compassion and forgiveness, my Sudarshan would not move. So I had to protect you from this terrible pain. I laid my body over your body and took those whippings and beatings. Just see. And then Lord Chaitanya showed Haridas and all the devotees around all those brutal beating marks on his own beautiful golden form. When Haridas Thakur saw this, he fell unconscious in ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya said, rise, rise, and see my opulences. When Srila Haridas Thakur looked up, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing his eternal form, just as Haridas worshipped him. The Lord of the spiritual world, Sri Krishna. Haridas cried. And he prayed please be merciful to me, my Lord. I am so low that anyone who sees me, they lose all their piety. Anyone who touches me, they become so polluted with sin that they have to go into the river to take a bath immediately. I'm not only untouchable by birth, but I'm sinful, and I'm the most fallen. But still, you are so merciful. You never abandon those who remember you. Whatever situation a person has ever gone through in life, if they just remember you with devotion, you are always there to pick them up. You will never abandon a devotee who seeks to remember you with love, even if it's a worm or even if it's an insect. But I am so unfortunate. I cannot remember you. Draupadi, she was in the court of the Kurus. Duryodhana ordered Dushasana, a mighty warrior whose arms were strong like 10,000 elephants. He was ordered to strip Draupadi naked. He grabbed her sari. Draupadi, she looked to the Pandavas, but they were trapped. They could do nothing. She looked to the great senior members of the Kuru dynasty, but out of fear of Duryodhana, they all looked away. They could not even bear to see her gaze. They were so ashamed. She called out to Dhritarashtra. He did nothing. She screamed at them all as being cowards, but still, no one was there to help her. With cruel, savage eyes, Dushasana gazed at her and pulled at her sari. With all of her strength, she tried to hold on, but she was no match to him. Then Draupadi lifted her arms into the air and she remembered you, Krishna. She remembered you by crying out, "Hey, Krishna! Hey, Govinda! Hey, Krishna! Hey, Govinda!" In her loving remembrance, Sharanagati, in a mood of surrendering to you as her only refuge, you incarnated yourself within her cloth. And because you are unlimited, her cloth became unlimited. However much Dushasana pulled, you were always fully dressed until he collapsed in exhaustion. You are always there to give yourself to one who sincerely remembers you. Parvati was surrounded by witches who wanted to kill her and eat her. In that state, she took shelter of you. She remembered you. And you came and you punished all those witches and protected Parvati. Little Prahlad, 5-year-old child. His only fault was he loved you, Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
His father, Hiranyakashipu, he threw Prahlad under the feet of stampeding elephants. He threw Prahlad in fire, blazing fire. He took Prahlad and tied a massive rock around him and threw him to the bottom of the ocean. He threw him off the highest of the mountains. He fed him poison. He put him in a pit of gigantic venomous snakes. But because he remembered you, Lord, with devotion, you were there. You never abandon one who remembers you. The Pandavas, when Durvasa Muni was sent by Duryodhana to Kamyavan, he came at the time when Draupadi had just finished her meal. He came with 60,000 disciples. And they were all really hungry. And they were all expecting Draupadi and you to feed them, Yudhisthira. When they came, Yudhisthira came to Draupadi. "We have to prepare prasad for 60,000 people. She said, "I just finished. The pot is empty. There's nothing left. We have no food here." This was an emergency. Durvasa Muni is known for cursing people if they don't satisfy. What to speak him, all of his disciples. So Yudhisthira said, "Please go and take your bath in the Ganga." And they went to take bath in the river. And Draupadi and Yudhisthira, they remembered you, Lord. And at that time you came to the house. And you said, "Please give me food." And Yudhisthira said, "There's no food. Not only are we offending Durvasa Muni and all his disciples, we're offending you. We have nothing to feed you." Krishna said, "Let me see the pot." And there was one little speck of dried sabji stuck to the bottom of the pot. Krishna took it and ate it. When he ate it, all the 60,000 sages in the river, their stomachs became overly full with food. They became, it's like they had terribly overeaten. They didn't know what was going on. Even Durvasa Muni was like that. And then Krishna, he told Bhima, "Go tell them to come for prasad." Bhima said, "But we don't have anything." Krishna said, "Just trust me, go." So Bhima was confused. He came with his club. He said, "It's time for prasad." And they were thinking, if we offend Bhima's wife by eating nothing, then he might get really mad at us. So as soon as Bhima said, I'll wait, and he started going home, and Durvasa Muni and all the sages, they got out of the river and ran as fast as they could in the other direction. Because they remembered you. Ajamil, he was such a sinful person. He engaged in so many immoral plundering activities. He was so bad. He caused the death of his own mother and father due to neglect and disrespect. He was robbing, he was stealing. But at the last moment, when he was about to die and the Yamadutas came before him, he chanted his son's name, Narayan, and in doing so, he remembered you, my Lord. And because he remembered you in such a helpless condition, you freed him from all of his impiety, all of his sins, and you gave him enlightenment,
by which he could perfect his life in pure devotional service. Haridas Thakur said, this is the power of remembering you with devotion. But I never remember you. But still you do not reject me. Please, please do not reject me. Just let me be your dog. Let me be your servant. Give me the power to remember you. Lord Chaitanya said, ask for any boon. I will give you everything, anything that you like. Ask. Haridas, if you insist on giving me something, there is one blessing I have been praying for a long time. Let, in every birth I take, let my food be the remnants of your devotees who love you. Let me worship those remnants of the Vaishnava's food, birth after birth after birth. Then Haridas Thakur, he felt guilty. He said, I have no qualification for asking for such an elevated gift from you. I am so unfortunate. I yearn for prestige. I yearn to be seen as somebody very, very important. And therefore I cannot remember you properly. Please, as undeserving as I am, I beg, let me be an insect, or let me be a dog next to the house of your devotee, so I could hear them chanting the holy names, and I could eat the food that is left from their plates. This is Namacharya. Namacharya means one who is the guru who is teaching us how to chant the holy names of the Lord. The Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. Harinama, Harinama, Harinam Eva Kevalam Kalonasteva Nasteva Nasteva Gatiranyata. But how to chant? Lord Chaitanya gave us Haridas Thakur as the teacher. If we truly want perfection through chanting the holy names, we must follow in the footsteps of the Acharya. We cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. Such tolerance, such forgiveness, such humility, such determination. But we should understand that's the real wealth of life. That's the highest thing that we should be praying for and aspiring for in our life, to follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. In this beautiful Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to us the very heart of Haridas Thakur. What it truly means to be the servant of the servant of the servant. You see, eating remnants isn't just some sort of culinary experience. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's totally respecting, honoring, in a humble spirit, who a Vaishnava is. Having that much appreciation and respect and eagerness to serve, that's the spirit.
that Haridas Thakur is teaching us. Lord Chaitanya gave him the benediction that Haridas, I give you pure bhakti. Anyone that sees you will get Krishna. Anyone that spends any time with you will get Krishna. Anyone who talks with you, anyone who even remembers you will get Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur, you are my master. I am forever a prisoner within your heart. Then Lord Chaitanya said, all the planets, in all the universes, in all of creation, in all the wealth and prosperity and natural resources that are contained, do not have near the value to me as one single devotee who serves me with love. Then Lord Chaitanya told Haridas, I give you the gift that you will chant my holy names without offense and always serve me with love and devotion and always serve the Vaishnavas with that same love and devotion. Prahlad was born from a demoniac family of Hiranyakashipu. Hanuman was born in a family of animals. And Haridas was born in what was apparently the lowest caste, untouchables. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through all these instances, want to show it's not a matter of our caste or our nationality or our sex or our income status. Bhakti is an expression of the sincerity of our hearts. If we want to understand what is bhakti is not just the path of devotion that people say. Bhakti is the heart of what these great souls are praying for and how they're praying. Bhakti is what's in the heart of the greatest of these devotees that is being revealed to us today. That is bhakti. And bhakti yoga is to follow in the footsteps of such persons with the same aspirations of these great souls. And when we do so sincerely, Krishna becomes a prisoner in our hearts. When we remember him, surrender to him with love. Lord Chaitanya turned to Advaita and said, do you remember long before I appeared within this world, when you were praying and praying and praying for me to descend from Goloka Vrindavan, you were studying and teaching Bhagavad Gita. And if there was any particular verse that you didn't fully understand that this was directly and specifically glorifying bhakti, pure devotional service, you would think yourself so fallen. You had such total faith that every word of the Gita, every word was expounding pure unalloyed bhakti. And if you couldn't understand how it was, you would fast. And every time you would fast, I would appear in a dream. You would have a dream that would explain how that verse was glorifying pure devotional service.
You don't remember. You don't. Now I'm revealing to you, that was me. I was coming from the spiritual world into your dream, into your heart. And every time I'd reveal to you the truth, and then I would tell you to wake up and eat. And then you would very happily eat. Lord Chaitanya was turning to everybody who was in this beautiful kirtan and the Satparahari Abhava. He was saying, ask everybody, ask for a boon. One devotee said, my father tries to stop me from coming here. Please make him favorable. Make my father a devotee too. Somebody else says, please give pure devotion to my guru. Others are saying, please give pure, unalloyed love and devotion to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to my students. Everyone was asking for benedictions of giving pure devotion to the loved ones, because that's the highest expression of love. Vaishnava's prayer is very powerful. It never goes unanswered. Lord Chaitanya called on everybody. He was revealing just the form that they worshipped. He was giving them any benedictions they desired, and he was telling them all sorts of experiences that they had throughout their lives. But there was one person that Lord Chaitanya was neglecting. He was so intimately dear to all the devotees. Mukunda. Mukunda was so brokenhearted that he was being neglected. Everyone else was getting the choicest, most sought after, ecstatic darshans and blessings that they could ever pray for, except him. He was standing behind a curtain crying and crying and crying. Because you see, you can't demand mercy. If the Lord is pleased with me, he will call me. He's displeased with me. What have I done? The nature of devotional community is very much revealed in this story. Srivas, Haridas, Sridhar, Murari, Adwaita, everyone! They just had the darshan of their life and all their blessings given. But all of them were brokenhearted because Mukunda was suffering. They were crying. They didn't understand why Gauranga is not giving his mercy to Mukunda. Srivas Thakur, he approached Lord Gauranga and said, Mukunda is crying, he's brokenhearted. Why are you neglecting him? Are you punishing him? If he made an offense, call him, tell him what the offense is, let him rectify it, but please don't neglect him. Lord Chaitanya appeared angry. With a thundering voice, he said, do not plead on behalf of that wretched person, Mukunda. Srivas Thakur was devastated. And Mukunda's hearing it. He's crying even louder. Srivas said, when Mukunda sings, he melts our hearts. He's your favorite kirtan singer. Whenever he sings, you dance in ecstasy.
He's loved by all of us. If he's made some offense, correct him. Why are you saying this?
Lord Chaitanya, very grave. He said, Mukunda, he puts a blade of grass in his teeth, which is the exhibition of humility. He touches my feet, and then he picks up a steel club and smashes me on the head. That is Mukunda.
Mukunda's listening. The devotees are crying. What do you mean? He doesn't do that.
Lord Chaitanya was remembering years before, Mukunda was learning from a teacher who was like a guru, who was teaching things that were not in harmony with pure devotion. That the Lord's body is illusion. That the Lord's name is illusion. The Lord's pastimes are illusion. In this world, we can attach ourselves, absorb ourselves in the Lord through these means, but then ultimately we realize they're all illusion and we become one with the Lord. He was associating with these types of philosophers, and in this way, he was minimizing true service, pure devotion. And by doing so, to me, that's like breaking my limbs with a club. No, I will not see Mukunda, and he will not see me. Mukunda was really crying. From behind the curtain, he cried out, Srivas, ask him if I will ever get to see him. Lord Chaitanya said, he will see me after 10 million births, without doubt, for certain. When Mukunda heard that, he was splashed in ecstasy. He began to cry in happiness. His body uncontrollably danced. He was dancing through the house. I will see, after 10 million births, I will see, only 10 million births, I will see, I will see. When Lord Chaitanya saw him, he was so happy. He laughed. He smiled. He said, bring Mukunda to me right now. Lord Chaitanya said, Mukunda, come now. But Mukunda didn't hear him because he was so totally absorbed in internal consciousness, thinking, in 10 million births, I will see. The devotees came and said to Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya is calling you now. Lord Chaitanya said, bring him, bring him. They were saying, Mukunda, he wants to see you now. And Mukunda was going, after 10 million births, I will see, I will see. The devotees had to pick him up and bring him right in front of Lord Chaitanya. See? Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda that he was only joking. He just said that. He said, I just wanted to... He said, actually, Mukunda, you never made any offense. And even if you made offenses, because of your pure love for me and your pure love to serve all the devotees, that Krishna will not let any offense be taken seriously. Because
Even I spoke that you will not see me until after 10 million births. For certain. You had so much faith in my words. And you value darshan with me so much. You were willing to strictly, purely surrender your heart, body, mind, soul, and life gratefully for 10 million births, knowing that you will see me. That's how much you value devotional service. Such patience, such determination, and such faith. Because of that spirit of your faith, your determination, your gratitude, within a half a second, all those 10 million births were obliterated. And I had to show you myself immediately. Lord Chaitanya again, he spoke to Mukunda that I am forever a prisoner of your love within your heart. You have conquered me, Mukunda. Mukunda said, I am a fool. I have no good qualities. I have no true faith. In fact, my life is as worthless as ashes. But still, I feel bliss when I see you. How is this possible? I have no devotional qualifications, but by your mercy, I feel such happiness when I see you. Duryodhana, you showed him your Virat Rupa. He saw directly your universal form. Plus, he saw your form as Krishna directly, again and again, and he never felt happy. Rather, due to his offenses, he was destroyed. In Vidarbha, you came in your form of this, you came on Garuda. And Rukma and the kings who were trying to exploit Rukmini, when they saw you, they did not feel any happiness. They tried to defeat you, and ultimately they were all destroyed. Hiranyaksha, when you appeared as Varahadev, every one of your limbs was the personification of all the Vedic yajñas. Vamanadev, such a magnificent, beautiful, transcendental form, dove into the ocean, lifted the earth with his magnificent tusks. And when he emerged, came out from the ocean, you stood right before Hiranyaksha. But he did not find any happiness in seeing you directly. He felt hatred for you. And he was vanquished. Hiranyaksha's brother, Hiranyakashipu, with his eyes directly, he was having darshan, seeing Sri Narsingadev Bhagavan. But he wasn't feeling any happiness because he had such envy in his heart. And ultimately, he was destroyed. All these people, they are seeing you directly, but because they're not feeling any happiness seeing you, they're vanquished by you. Mukunda said, even though I have no devotion at all, still, I'm so happy to see you. This is your causeless mercy. Kubja. Who was Kubja? She was just a little hunchback lady. But because she was happy to see you, you gave her the perfection of life. The Yajnapatnis, the Brahmins' wives. Although they were forbidden by their husbands, who were the greatest of the scholars of the Vedas and ritual, when they came before you, they attained your loving devotional service because they were happy to see you. The women in Mathura, when you entered the city, they were so happy to see you. You made your residence forever in their hearts. The garland maker in Mathura. You came to his little stall and said, give me the best of your garlands. And the garland maker, Sudama was his name, he gave you his best garland. And all the other garlands in his shop, he put on your devotees, the gopas. And because he was so happy to see you and happy to serve you, you gave him every benediction. You gave him the benediction that everything he desires in his life will be fulfilled, and then he will go back home, back to Godhead for spiritual perfection. Kamsa saw you. He saw the same Krishna that everyone else was seeing. But because he had no devotion, he wasn't happy seeing you. In fact, he was very angry, he was very envious, and he was vanquished. The power of devotion. Anantadev, with his thousand mouths, is chanting the glories of the Lord. And the power, Anantadev is not sitting on anything. And yet all the universes are resting on his hoods. He gets this power by his devotion in chanting your glories. Shiva gets the power to give supreme auspiciousness because of his devotion to you. And Narada Muni, his power to give love of God and travel from planet to planet and place to place is by the power of his devotion for you. Vyasadeva wrote Atharva Veda, Sama Veda, Raja Veda, Rig Veda, Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda. He wrote the Upanishads, Samhitas, Puranas. He explained so many philosophies of jnana and karma and bhakti and yoga. But he wasn't feeling satisfied. And then his guru told him, because you have not glorified exclusively pure bhakti devotion. And then upon writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he achieved the greatest happiness. Mukunda said, I am like a worm. But still, how is it that I'm so happy to see you? Lord Chaitanya, he cried when he heard Mukunda's appreciation for bhakti, for pure, unalloyed love for Godhead. Lord Chaitanya said, whenever you sing,
I give you this benediction. Whenever you sing, I will come personally. Because you have explained bhakti exactly as I have exactly as I have presented it to the world. There was a washerman in Mathura. This washerman, Lord Chaitanya said, he performed 1 million births of tapasya with the single purpose of seeing me. And then he took his birth in Mathura and he was Kamsa's washerman. And after the culmination, the fruit of 1 million births of tapasya, I came and he saw me. But because he had no devotion, he wasn't happy. In fact, he chastised me. And he was vanquished. Only by devotion can one feel happiness when they see me. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained, when we go before the deity, because the deity is Krishna and Radha, don't try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna with such devotion that Krishna wants to see you. And then we could find actual happiness. Our heart fills with happiness upon seeing Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Mukunda that I place pure devotion within your heart forever. And I give you this benediction. Whenever you sing, it will melt the hearts of the entire assembly of devotees. And I give you the benediction that you will forever be loved by all the devotees. And whenever I descend into this world, you will be my favorite singer. When the devotees saw the beautiful reciprocation between Lord Chaitanya and Mukunda, and it was their greatest happiness, they loudly cried out, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol." Vrindavan Das Thakur says, anyone who hears this story with sincere devotion will sing with Mukunda. And this is very important. Anyone who feels happiness when they hear these stories will see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. In this way, for 21 hours, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching the whole world the inner hearts of his devotees' love for him. And he was fulfilling all the hearts of every devotee. Then the devotees would go out to spread this Harinam Sankirtan. They didn't just relish it themselves, but they understood this love that Lord Chaitanya was investing in this heart and the promise for this love. It pleases the Lord most when we share it.
I'll end today's talk with one last story. The devotees would go out to do Harinam Sankirtan. And after doing Harinam Sankirtan together, sometimes they'd be very hungry. So one time they were in a particular place and they were chanting and dancing all night long and all day long, and Lord Chaitanya saw that the devotees were hungry. So he took one dried up mango seed and dug a little hole in the ground with his own lotus-like fingers. And he pushed the mango seed in it. Then with his own hand, he buried the mango seed. He chanted Hare Krishna. Instantly, right in front of everyone's eyes, a little sprout came out of the ground. It grew and grew until it became a tree. And it kept growing until it was a full tree. Within minutes, it was a mango tree with 200 completely ripe mangoes. Lord Chaitanya, with his own hands, he collected all 200 mangoes. And he washed them. And he offered them all to Krishna. And then he tried one. And then with his own hands, he distributed one mango to each devotee. These were not ordinary mangoes. Srila Prabhupada writes that when mangoes are yellow and red, they're considered very nice. These mangoes were perfectly ripe. They were sweet as nectar. The mangoes had no skin and no seed. They were pure, ripe mango through and through. And no devotee can eat more than one. Because one mango totally satisfied that devotee. Every day for the next year, 365 days, they came back to that place. And every single day, exactly how many devotees came, there were that many mangoes on the tree. Without skin, without seed, perfectly ripened nectar, celestial, divine nectar. And every day Lord Chaitanya collected them all with his own hands and distributed to devotees. And Srila Prabhupada explains, this is our process. Harikatha, then Harikirtan, and then prasad distribution. Thank you very much.